Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
1 hour on tap. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. We will get into tonight's Major League Baseball betting card coming up in 15 minutes. Couple of bets there for myself and Derek Stevens on the program at the bottom of the hour. They had, well, with their promotion, with the Cubs that they have tied into, some lucky fan won a trip to Circa when PCA walked it off last night. That's the deal that they have there. What a good friend of mine, by the way, was in Chicago this weekend, and he was at the Cubs game on Sunday. He missed that game last night by one day.
Mm.
That place was on fire last night when he hit that home run.
Absolutely.
All right. So yesterday on the program, we kicked around the idea of, well, how I like to bet backup quarterbacks to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL. Don't do it every year, but when it might make some sense where might be a weak class overall, and the guys behind kind of a dicey quarterback who's the starter anyway might have an injury history. This guy gets in, may have some good weapons, and the rest could be history. I made the case, well, I hated the pick, but kicking this around with Ty Simpson, like, what if something happens to Matthew Stafford? And as Jonathan Von Tobel and I discussed, the newest edition of Pod of the Futures is out wherever you get your podcasts. My whole thing is that bet's going one of two ways. Very likely burning money, Paulie, right? Because Stafford can easily play the entire year. They go on, win the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. However, if Stafford is hurt with enough runway for Simpson to come in and play, that 75-1 turns into, I say, less than 10-1. And you're sitting there with a guy that's going to have a real possibility in that offense with that head coach to maybe win the award. I've not made that bet yet. JBT brought up this guy in the podcast. By the way, news today with the Jets, Breece Hall going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. Behind him, Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis are backups. I bring that up for a reason. He brought up Cade Klubnik, Offensive Rookie of the Year. So, like, even if Hall misses time...
Ah, Geno taking him to the promised land.
Certainly. I like Braylon Allen as a backup. Isaiah Davis had some splashy moments last year. They have weapons, is all I'm saying. Garrett Wilson, A.D. Mitchell, drafted Omar Cooper...
Uh-huh.
They drafted Kenyon Sadiq. They have Mason Taylor already. Offensive line's not great. Consensus rankings checks him in at number 21 overall. But here's the whole rub on this. Geno Smith, the last 2 years, 2024, had 15 INTs, second most in the entire league, and 17 INTs last year. That led the league. 23 turnover-worthy plays in 15 games last year, tied for the third most. 18 turnover-worthy plays in 17 games in 2024. That's who he is and what he does.
It's hilarious. Shauna can't stand him. Hates him. Hates Geno Smith.
Why is that?
Because watching all the Raider games.
Oh, the Raiders games,
I can't believe how bad he was and can't stand him.
Well, she's got a good eye then.
No kidding. But that goes back to kind of like when will they pull the plug? How many games will he play? Because I don't want any part of Mendoza. That's crazy at plus 550.
Right, right.
We talked that they're going to be a bad team, a last place team, and then there's probably going to be 2 months of Cousins, at least, or 6 weeks of Cousins.
Now, the problem is, let's be honest here, Klubnik stunk last year at Clemson, even before he got hurt. He did not come close to living up to the hype from what he was like as a high school prospect going to Clemson.
He's had some rough practices, too.
Sure, he has. But I think there's an angle here where Geno would not be the starting quarterback the entire time. And then the question becomes, to your point, Paul, like, when would he get into the games? Well, we saw this. Tyler Shuck almost won it last year. And what if the Saints win their final game of the year?
He should have won it.
I would agree with you. If they win that final game of the year, maybe that flips enough people or keeps them on him to actually win the award, because it was not a great draft class.
Henderson would have won it if Vrabel would have given him the ball.
Potentially,
it's another one.
Yeah. Egbuka was odds on.
That's right.
Halfway through the year. So, like, Shuck didn't play anywhere close to the entire year. What if a guy like Klubnik, what if a guy like Simpson were to come in, I'm just going to spitball here, by, like, Halloween, or maybe a week or so before Halloween. If this,
what's the record, though, and how important is it?
Oh, it's
the Shuck won game. The record wasn't there, but Shuck won games at the end.
For these awards, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I think the record might play in a little bit if it's a quarterback. Like, are you going to give it to a guy on a 4 or 5 win team? especially if it's a quarterback. That might be tough. I think that could matter. Because if you're putting up numbers and losing games, I think it's hard to make the case.
Well, if it's a down year across the board, which, again, I think, and by the way, look at the injuries we have already. Again, Jordan Tyson out 2 months. That impacts things. You said yesterday that you can't stand Cam Ward.
Right.
You think it's not going to work at all in Tennessee, so you don't like Carnell Tate?
I'd rather have Boston and Stribling. Absolutely.
What about Concepcion for the Browns?
Yeah, I'd like Charch had a phenomenal breakdown on Boston a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Boston.
But I think all of this now that we have in pocket on Stribling just makes a lot of sense here with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I draft in my fantasy leagues in 2 weeks, Charch said he was probably going to move him up into his 30s for like wide receiver. Where's this guy going to be going in 2 weeks? Round 6? 8? Getting nuts here?
Mm.
So, I don't know. I thought the Klubnik thing was interesting anyway.
If there's more injuries too, yes. Could happen.
Mm-hmm.
How about other news? Waller to Carolina. Keenan Allen to Indy.
I like the Waller pickup.
Breece Hall hurt. What's going to happen in Atlanta? When can Penix come back? When will he be cleared? Tua looked awful.
That's going to be a thing all year.
There's a lot of problems and concerns already.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact, but I'm pretty confident that Tua's not going to look great this year. There's also this. So at prediction markets, you can find, and I think DraftKings might have it up in some states as well, who's going to be the week one starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Watson is at 84% right now on Kelce.
Yeah, should be higher. It's over.
Over? You think it is?
Oh, they told him a month ago you're the starter. And also, look at the comments by Monken.
Right.
He was awesome. No, he wasn't. He scored. He was not. That's all you need to know. He was awesome. He scored 10 points. He was not awesome.
But I guess
he looked great compared to the other two, like Ed Salmon said.
Sure.
How bad Sanders and Gabriel played. But see, what Sanders does is he gets the start in the second game. But I would think their concern moving forward is, can he stay healthy?
Well, this is Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, who evidently was beating the drum for Shedeur Sanders before the Browns played in their first preseason game. Then he had a chance to watch that unfold, and he kind of changed his opinion on who should be the Browns' week one starting quarterback.
After preseason week one, it's not close, the competition. And I've been pumping Shedeur to be the guy. I thought Deshaun played faster. He saw it cleaner, and the ball jumped off his hands a lot more. So the good, this is a simple concept. It's curl flat, but once he sees the defenders kind of split, 1, 2, 3, ball has to come out right now. I thought this is something that I was surprised by Deshaun. The ball came out quickly, okay? So that is a good thing. Now, a player, too, that you'd love to have back is he goes to pull the trigger at the bottom of the screen. That guy's open. Throw it. Then he goes to set to the top of the screen. That guy's open. Throw it. This is first down. Instead, he doesn't throw to either of the deep options, becomes a scramble guy, and then that's only a one-yard run. So I do think that there were a moment or two of rust, but if you just looked at the snaps as a body of work, Deshaun was clearly better in the game, and even though I've been sitting here pounding the table of like, start Shedeur because it makes more sense to start Shedeur, yeah. I did not find after preseason week one that it was all that close, off game.
I do agree with what he said at the end. You're rebuilding anyways.
Right.
Like, it's just, this was the all-time worst contract ever with the trade. This is it for him. The last thing Ashley wants is for the guy to go out there and play well, which you can't sell another contract anyways to the fan base. But you might as well see what you have with Sanders and see what he can do. But
imagine Watson plays well this year to where the Browns actually exceed expectations.
Win 8-9 games, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and then
nightmare.
And then next year in the draft?
Yeah.
A quarterback-heavy draft?
Yeah.
I mean, then what do they do? Then watch that organization say, yeah, okay, you know what? He played well enough, he's going to get another contract. And we'll just punt on taking a quarterback as high as we thought we were going to in the first round. That is your total absolute nightmare situation for the Browns. I heard Adam Burke today, who's from the area, and he's a Browns fan. He was on Money Moves with JVT and Stormy, and he said that he kind of likes 51 out of the 53 projected players on the roster. The two guys he does not like at all are the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, and I don't really...
I don't like the hire either.
I don't like Monken.
How do you have...
I don't like Monken.
How do you have a Mack truck in the backfield and not give him the ball? That was ridiculous. He cost him a playoff spot. I'm not going to give the ball to Henry. So not in the fourth quarter. Take him off the field for drives, important drives. The Sunday night game against New England. And then they fed him in the game at Lambeau. Here's a buck 50 at 200 yards and four scores. What was he doing?
Yeah, the Patriots game late, the Bills game in week one. Hello. How do you blow that game? Now, Henry had a fumble in that spot, obviously, but it was an uninspiring hire. And I just...
Sure.
But here's the thing about Adam Burke's point. I think it's actually... They have some decent players on the team. The defense is going to be solid yet again. I know there's no Myles Garrett. It wasn't just Myles Garrett. I mean, I know he was Defensive Player of the Year, but Verse is also a good young player, and they have a lot of other guys on that roster, on that side of the ball, that are good. So, but I just, the quarterback spot is by far and away it.
Beeson's on the clock. Second annual Pro Football Futures Draft on Thursday. 13 hosts and guests face off. Fantasy football-style snake draft hosted by Dustin. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders. Keyshawn Johnson joins us. Comedian Nick Bakay, the guru John Hansen, was added. Don't just watch the futures draft. Profit from it Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. 2 hours long. We'll have some fun, and I'm interested to see what Keyshawn thinks.
I'm picking late. Do you know where you're picking?
I have the third pick, I believe.
Third?
Yeah.
I'm picking late, and I can already tell you I'm going to have to change my approach. Because I think there's one way you have to attack it in the first round, and it's all going to be gone by the time I'm on the clock. We will hit the Major League Baseball card coming up next. Bad spot for a borderline playoff team, and I'm betting against them on principle. Find out which game next here on VSiN. Full slate here on a Tuesday, Major League Baseball. We have games beginning coming up in about 20 minutes, including the Yankees and the Orioles. Rodon coming back tonight for New York, taking on Shane Baz, who's 4-12 on the year. Well, I have reverse CLV in this game tonight, which we'll see how it goes. I've had plenty of CLV in baseball this year with losing bets, so hopefully it goes the other way tonight. But money coming in on Baltimore today. I laid 14 cents with the Yankees in this game, down to close to a pick 'em now. And here at Circa, minus 109, might be a little bit lower than that at other spots. It's the definition of a Malinsky special for Baltimore. They just concluded their 10-game road trip, played last night in Tampa, back at home tonight. Always a factor here. Orioles used four guys out of the pen last night. Not that I don't want to go back too far, but they used a lot of bullpen guys going back the last four nights overall. Yankees are rested. And I like them in this spot tonight with Rodon taking on Baz at this number. So I bet the Yankees tonight, Pauly.
Worst pitcher ROI. They're 6-18 when he starts. He's down almost, 13 units and change. So it's been a rough go for him this year in Baltimore. And the Yankees are 5-2 against the Orioles this year and averaging almost 7 runs a game. See if they can get the offense finally going and humming. But tough. You get the good news with Rodon, but now you lose Fried. So this is a game the Yankees should win, though, considering this guy's been awful for Baltimore, and they've been bad when he's been out there.
Chisholm, good numbers against Baz in his career. Flip it around. Gunnar Henderson has two dingers off Rodon as well. So I'm on New York tonight. That game starts in about 20 minutes. The Blue Jays are taking on the Rays. Rays got that win, salvaged that miserable series against Baltimore by taking the rubber match last night. But this is a good pitching matchup, I guess.
Yes.
Because Martinez is awesome. I don't know what to make of Soriano. Let me just tell you this, though. His first two starts with Toronto, 4 2/3, 4 hits, 1 earned, 3 Ks, 94 pitches. That included 3 walks. He went 6 innings against the Red Sox, 4 hits, 1 earned, 4 Ks, 2 walks on 90 pitches. Soriano has walked 2-plus batters in 18 of his 24 starts this year. The prop is 2.5 tonight. Martinez is off that 101-pitch complete game at Sacramento.
He's the opposite. They've been excellent. And he's at the top for ROI, 18-5 when he starts. He's got a great ERA against the Jays. This in their 8-2 against him as well. So I would think it's the Rays here. But here come up. Look at this. Blue Jays are right there in this now.
Really are.
Right? You know, even a bad team like Seattle, not out of it. Seattle's having a horrible year. And they're only like 3 back. So it's you put together a strong week, you might be in the playoffs. When it's all, look what Baltimore was able to do. So I think the Rays will get the win today and get to Soriano. I'm surprised the price is so low. But the Rays, what are we at now? It's been a year anniversary where Vlad, last time Vlad had a home run and a home
at
game.
At home, yep. Been a year. Can you believe that?
No, it's
one of the most amazing things I've ever heard.
It is. It's astonishing.
Yeah. So Martinez, I would like a crazy prop like Martinez will throw more innings and fewer pitches than Soriano. Because Martinez, he threw 101 pitches, like I said, in that complete game. Soriano might throw 95 pitches in the first four innings. And over 2.5 walks is juicy because it's plus money. But also, Martinez has been so efficient this year. I'm not afraid. It's not like we're chasing an unbelievable game from him last week. He did give up 4 earned runs, but they scored, I think, 12 in that game against the A's up in Sacktown. He's much more reliable here than Soriano. Martinez is.
A guy who suddenly hasn't been reliable is Zach Wheeler. 2-10 tonight at home. 1-4 last 5 starts. He's personally 0-3 with an ERA of 6. What's gone wrong here all of a sudden? And that was a sweat last night with the Phillies that they got the win but didn't cover the run line coming back and winning. Harper was awesome. I'm glad we mentioned his numbers, 600 career against junk. He had 3 hits. But all of a sudden now, if Wheeler's in a funk, they're probably going to miss the playoffs if this continues.
Well, that can't.
Because the rest of the rotation's awful behind the big 3.
Yeah, they clearly need to have him bounce back to the form that he was in before this recent skid all of a sudden. What do we get tonight from the White Sox and the Cubs after that masterpiece last night? It's a hell of a game. It's Hudson against Gausman. The biggest question here now is maybe buying on bad news with Gausman. He was really good in his first start for the Cubbies. 7 innings against the Royals, 2 earned, 4 hits, 4 Ks. His last start against Washington, he got lit up, 7 hits, 6 earned in 4 2/3. He's laying $1.70 in this spot tonight against the first-place White Sox.
Yeah, well, come back PCA props. Why not? He's rocking and rolling. And you're right, even though it's an opener, that's too high for the Cubbies. They might win, but that's... And look at that total, too, 9.5.
All right. I would agree with you, Paul. I think the only way to look at this one would be to take the White Sox. Somehow, some way. I can't lay $1.70.
Yeah.
I said that yesterday. There's no way I could lay that number with Imanaga, and they should not have won the game,
but
they did.
That's right. And Dodgers, $1.90 on the road again here. But total ownage against Colorado, what they've done. 98-39 since 2018. 21-game hitting streak in Coors for Ohtani. Hitting over 400, 4 hits, 2 bombs last night. He can do total bases, hits, runs, RBIs again. The run Ohtani's on in this ballpark, and it's Feltner who's terrible, 11.5. And at least for a game, the Roberts tirade helped and worked out.
Do you want to bet Ohtani tonight to go yard?
I'd just say total bases again.
Well, how about, I'll go one. How about 2 home runs again?
15-1? I'd take the 15-1.
He wants to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He does. And, I mean, would it shock anybody if he has just a gigantic series in Colorado this week? Nope, no. In fact, I'd be stunned if he doesn't homer again.
Okay, yeah.
So, this is supposed to be a good series, but to your point, the Mariners, crappy season overall. On paper, good game here with Miller and Harrison. I know Greg Hoops-Peterson at VSiN.com was making the case for the under. I'll tell you why.
Well, I don't know about that. Miller's been terrible.
Well,
we've lost his last six starts. He's 0-4 with an ERA of 6. He's terrible.
Well, current form, yes. Before that, he was on a mission. Yeah. And the same thing could be said about Harrison, right? But full year to date, Harrison 3.47 ERA, 11 Ks per 9 at home. Think about the differences here.
Oh, yeah.
1.38 ERA at home in Milwaukee compared to 6.1 on the road. Miller, 3.39 overall, 1.5 home runs per 9. But Milwaukee is last in the league in home runs per at-bat, and the Mariners are last in the league in scoring at 3.9 runs per game. That's why Hoops likes the under in this game tonight.
Okay.
Despite both guys kind of being untrustworthy here lately.
I take the Brewers. Yep. How about what Leahy's doing for the Cardinals? He goes against Abbott. 9 straight starts, 2 earned runs or fewer allowed.
Sneaky good.
Best ERA since late June. Fott, Melton, Leahy. He's got a 1.52. Melton's got a 1.20. Wow. Fott's got a 1.10. Walker, 0-15 career against Abbott. That's the other end of the spectrum. We always give you the good. There's the lousy. They continue this 11-game 10-day road trip, and tough that they should have swept the doubleheader, but blew our game 2 in the bottom of the ninth.
So what do you want to do with Baez then, the young hotshot rookie?
It's tough. Yeah. It's 15, 0 for the last 15
now? Yeah, three home runs and not a hit since.
Yeah, and Abbott's a pretty good pitcher. So I would just probably look at the under stuff too until he can get it going again. Isn't that fun? You're not supposed to start a career like that.
I know.
It's supposed to be the opposite.
It's all downhill
from here. You struggle, and then you get going. It's not like you come in three bombs, and then you can't get a hit all of a sudden.
Yep. Some player props to consider tonight. Wilson Contreras for the Red Sox against Merrill Kelly in his career. .538 batting average, 4 extra base hits, and a home run. I played 2-plus total bases at +125. Vargas for the Diamondbacks against Suarez going for Boston tonight, a .450 average, 5 extra base hits, 2 home runs. He has not been hot, though, however, in general, only 4 hits in his last 10 games. I played him at almost 13-1 for a home run. Listener Lance checking in, he found 350-1 on 2 home runs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
So he's taking a swing on
that's
that
good
one. And you also have +140 on 2-plus total bases there. Also, a couple of other guys here to consider. Maybe this is a team total tonight for the Diamondbacks. Perdomo against Suarez, .500 batting average. Corbin Carroll, .400, 2 extra base hits and a home run.
All right, some Nerfies and Yerfies. The number one team in Nerfies, Padres, 77-49 this year. It did lose last night. Mets scored 2 in the first, and then that's it, but it holds up. And then 3 guys gunned down at home for the Friars. Mike Palm's been on that twin run. The Yerfie with the Twins. It's Molly against Matthews. And another one, 16 games in a row the Yankees haven't scored in the first inning.
That's pathetic.
If you want to, how you want to attack that one.
Right. You asked the question a little earlier about team record when it comes to offensive rookie of the year. McMillan won it last year for the Panthers. They were under .500. Jane Daniels.
Well, they won a division, though. I mean,
yeah. Jane Daniels, 10-7. Stroud, 10-7. Garrett Wilson, 7-10. The same year, Sauce Gardner won Defensive Rookie of the Year, 7-10. Mm-hmm. Another factor, by the way, that's a big deal potentially for New York.
Yep.
Jamar Chase won it, 10-7. I did not remember. Justin Herbert and the Chargers were 7-9 the year that he won Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. I think it's because they blew so many games and the coaching was an abomination.
Go. Yeah. Okay. Record does matter then. Yeah. Got to get those wins. Because if you're going to come in late and only win 4 or 5 games, not going to get it done, especially at the quarterback position.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Circa owner and CEO Derek Stevens coming up on the program next. Paulie wants to ask him about a free play that went wrong, evidently, on a Vegas strip casino coming up next. Every week, the owner and CEO of this great property, Derek Stevens, joins the program. Circa Las Vegas also owns the Golden Gate and the D downtown as well. Good to see you again, my friend. How are you today?
Very good. Good to see you, fellas.
What a game last night at Wrigley. PCA, incredible. Now favored again to win the National League MVP. We'll see how that plays out over the final 6 weeks. Can you explain the promotion that you have for walk-off wins for when the Cubbies are in action?
Yeah, if you're part of the program and they get a walk-off win, they get a trip to Vegas. So Cubs and Marquee have done a great job in marketing this thing, and they've had a handful of walk-offs. So we've had an opportunity to meet a lot of Cubs fans coming out here this summer.
They could not. I think they tweeted that out within like seconds of him hitting that home run last night. Did you see that?
I heard about it. Yeah, I a couple people forwarded it to me. I saw that. But, man, what a game that was. You know, and our friend of Circa, Taylor McGregor, was right there. She was right there for that interview with PCA.
Yep.
First pitch of the game and last pitch of the game.
You're telling me that's happened before?
I believe that's happened before, but it's been a long time, I believe.
Well, I read so many tweets about PCA after that game last night. I think the last time that exact thing happened was 1957. I read so many, so yeah. I might be mixing up with another one, but it was first pitch of the game home run, last pitch of the game home run, last time it happened.
And this is a heck of a Chicago series. I mean, this is probably the best Chicago series in a long time.
You are correct. I think, 2008, the last time they played at Wrigley and they both had a winning record?
Somehow,
it's been a long time. Absolutely. There was a issue at a strip property with free play. And it didn't go well, and it lasted about a day. And, you know, it was the body odor was bad. People waiting in line, they said, can you take us through how many people are involved in the decision, the meetings and everything about if we're going to do a promotion and how you do it right?
Yeah, you could argue they did a great job. But actually, I think when we reviewed it, we thought, wait a second. Wait, who signed off on the math here? There's a little math problem. They just gave out too much too quickly.
$200 to anybody. Anybody. Everyone gets $200.
I realize you want to try to get people in the heat of the summer, but that just goes to show how some free play will drive. I mean, heck, we've seen the night starts here. What happens? I mean, we have a lot of fun with that. But but $200 was a bit strong, and the promotion was supposed to last for the rest of the month, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they had to pull it back after 72 hours.
Yeah, there was I don't know if it was a running joke or if it was like a legit bet or what, but there was some pros. I think it was right around Bet Bash. There were some pro bettors. Frank B tweeted about it. He goes, this was never going to last more than a week. There's no way, no how it was going to go more than a week.
Just too rich. It was just way too rich. I mean, and what it was a standing. An hour and a half long wait, generally. But I heard it peaked out. Rami told me it peaked out at 1.7 and a half hours.
We heard 5.5, so I believe it.
Whatever.
I mean, are you serious?
That's a long time.
Yes. That's
too long.
Yes.
I don't get it.
What would you guys wait in line for that would take 7.5 hours? Anything in your life?
No, nothing.
There'd have to be many more zeros on it, I think.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if it's a unique experience to get. Could you get Masters tickets? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it would be, but
you're very aggressive, and I know there's been a lot of talk about the Dragon Link for $2 million up here in a high limit at Circa. How what are those discussions like in decisions in terms of what's our limit on table games? How high do we want to go with denomination on machines? How high do we want to go on Dragon Link and such and high limit?
Yeah, we have those discussions. You know, you got to try to figure out. Key thing is you got to try to figure out who your customer is and who wants to come in and give it a pop. We put the $2 million Dragon Links in here because we thought there was enough customers that would want to play high like that. I don't know if we're doing a great job at it or not. We're getting some play. We'd hope we get more play. The $1 million Dragon Links are doing pretty good. But, you know, we got to have the discussion about, like, what's the risk tolerance? And, you know, I guess we have a little bit of an advantage because we're not publicly traded. So, you know, I'm not really sweating out the fact that, oh, man, if the thing hits, it's going to screw up a quarter. Like, so I'm not too worried about that, really. But no, you just try to you want to have a good balance. You want to have the right machines that customers want to play that if they come down or you want to provide them something they want to enjoy.
Very good answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking right now, the board behind us, I just did actually. Grandissimo, $100,000 entry for Survivor here, 20 entries. So the latest number on the board right now is approaching 9,800. That may not have been updated since this. Are we touching 10,000 yet?
We are very close. We're close enough that, no, we're not there. We're at about 99.50 right now.
So you might get there by tonight.
Yeah, we should get there by
there by tonight. Okay. So what projections for that contest are now sitting around where?
Oh, man. Circus Survivor just keeps growing. I mean, it's just, you know. But will it continue? I don't know. But I mean, this upcoming weekend, what Ian Ritchie's got going on with this fantasy football drafts, what has he got, 100 and some drafts coming in? And then the next weekend, our contest sign-up weekend, and then Labor Day weekend, it's amazing. I mean, the wires are starting to pop, so wires are just coming in every morning.
Are they?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Could we get 23 million? Maybe 25. Could be.
Heard that number.
Could be higher.
On pace for 28.
The Circa Grandissimo. This was a hard one to predict. Now I do know we have a handful of new players. We have a handful of couple Wall Street, individual Wall Street guys coming in. We got a couple manufacturing guys that have never been to Circa before. Bar owner, like all brand new ones that are all calling, asking questions, wiring money in. So we're going to have a pretty diverse group. And if some of all the same people as last year come, I mean, we ought to be able to blow through 69 people.
Yeah.
You know what that rate is? You feel confident that people got in last year are going to do the same thing?
I don't have a great sense of that, but okay. But I do know we have a lot of new people that heard about it or heard about it. Like they heard about it like last year while it was going on.
Right.
Like, I wish I could have got in, or now people are watching the documentary, you know, and they're like, oh, I want to get into that. So we're booking a lot of hotel rooms. So I'd say Circa Grandissimo, we should beat last year, should be good. And Circa Millions, this is the one I'm pumping force. We don't get stuck with an overlay.
2109.
We're moving on that pretty good. And if we go over this $6 million, remember all that money goes back in the pot,
right?
Going to the quarterly payout. So
right,
should be a good first time for that.
If you could bet on it right now, would you bet that Millions touches 6,000?
If I had to bet, I bet it goes over.
Oh, you would? Okay.
I would bet. Yeah, I bet all three go over. It's just pacing real good right now.
Yeah, I mean, do you recall?
I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, yeah,
sure,
pacing really pacing well.
Do you recall last year with Grandissimo when it really caught fire? When it was just like, oh my God, you're getting, there's three more today and there's five. Was it the final week or was it the final like two or three weeks like we're in right now?
Yeah, no, not the final 3 weeks. It was the final 10 days.
Final 10 days.
Yeah.
So if that happens again this year,
it would be all in September. It'll be last week in August, and then it takes off from there.
I think you're going to get to 100.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Everything that you just talked about.
Wow.
I don't think those people are going to forget about it.
Right.
Right? That you heard from, watching the documentary. Oh, man, I didn't know about this until October 1st, whatever. I really want. They probably made a calendar reminder or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Had their people get in touch with whomever else.
A couple guys came in and said, yeah, we just heard about it. And we're not big gamblers, but we want to play in Grandissimo. Like, sold a business, want to enjoy it, a couple of buddies. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of new guys. So that's kind of interesting. Because I think it's going to change the strategy up a little bit. I like having all these independent thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a big gambler. $100,000 entry? Sure, I'm in.
There we go.
Let's do it.
Get two of them.
Solid.
Anything from Dana White?
Dana said he's going to come by.
Is he new Grandissimo?
I think James Ferris said he was going to, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tell his friends, get the fertitas in, bang.
Yeah, right.
There you go. You get to 100.
Hey, I brought this up on the air yesterday. I'm not to put you on the spot, but one of the many reasons why I just appreciate you in this spot so much is how much you care about your customers and how much, like, you put into this whole sports book. On vacation, I told Paulie on the air, we went to the south end of the strip, multi-billion-dollar corporation. When's the last time they plugged 30 cents into their sports books? It's embarrassing.
The TVs.
It's just
same TVs.
You can't update your TVs from the 90s? What the hell's going on here?
Yeah. I agree. But I mean, you know, we've always been pretty adamant about active content management and good refresh rates and clear screens. And I mean, look what we're going through over here. We got Mega Bar going through Mega Cleaning.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Big time today.
Good to see you. Ready. Again. Football's coming.
It is, yeah. Thanks for popping in today. We appreciate that. There you go. Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Up next, why you probably should not be betting on Sonny Gray to win the American League Cy Young. And a case for the Mariners to make the playoffs and win their division. I'll share that with you coming up next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1. You're right.
Here we go with the bets for tonight in action right now. Yankees, this game is underway. They are playing in the first no score. Runner on first, the way it looks for the Yankees, two outs. I got them at minus 114. Bad number. Close, I think, around what, minus 108, something like that. But it's a bad spot for the Orioles. Long road trip, which was over with last night, but now Malinsky special going into this game. A couple of bets for week 0 in college football. I just think these numbers are a little bit too high. for example, Hawaii plus 6 on the road against Stanford. Who's Stanford to be laying 6 points against a Hawaii team that could be pretty decent again this year? And the other one is, this opened up 3. Paul Stone talked about this with us a while back. But now it's starting to come back a little bit. 6.5s are still available. They were this morning. Give me Memphis plus 6.5 against UNLV. I don't think either one of those games will close there. So maybe a half a point, point whatever of CLV hopefully going into next weekend's games. Also tonight, Major League Baseball. Wilson Contreras for the Red Sox. Good numbers overall in his career against the starting pitcher. Over plus 1.5. Merrill Kelly, total bases at plus 125. Best of luck, everybody.
We mentioned the Nerfy, number one in all of baseball, the Padres. Mason Miller hasn't pitched since Wednesday. But there's an article on ESPN.com. Is this one of the best relief seasons ever for a reliever? I would say yes.
It is.
He's 4-1, 30 saves and 31 chances. His one blown save came when he entered in the 8th inning with the bases loaded and one out. He got the win anyways. A 0.89 ERA, 16 strikeouts per 9, hitters hitting 140 off him. 2 extra base hits, both doubles.
Yes. Are you serious?
No one talks about it. I mean, the season's almost over.
Right.
So now we need to get more attention now that we're almost to September and what he's done. See if he gets out there tonight, but then again, hasn't pitched since Wednesday. And the other one, in addition to 15 straight 17th game in a row, Yankees don't score in the first inning.
No score. Jeez.
15 straight unders in the WNBA. It's wonky, the schedule the rest of the month. A lot of teams are playing every other night and like 5 games in 8 days or 4, definitely 4 games in a week because they're off from September 1st till September 17th. Then they play a week and then that ends the regular season. It's bizarre. So take a look at the Fever and the Sparks and a Dream and a lot of teams, you're going to see like 4 games a night for the rest of the month, and a lot of teams are playing every other night until September.
I got to be honest, it's so far like that patch of time is so far out of sight, out of mind. Why? What's the reason for taking 2 weeks off like that?
I don't know either. That is bizarre.
Okay.
And then you're going till mid-September, end of your regular season. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled, built on a different idea. Match betting and arbitrage, a tool that teaches you how to use sports book bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers, and Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. Start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VEASAN. Ungambled.com/VEASAN. Code VEASAN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. Ungambled.
Okay, so this is the reason why, look, Paul, it's kind of weird, but in the last like 10 days, I've had multiple people come up and tell me or ask me the question, how is it possible that Sonny Gray is like 25-1 to win the American League Cy Young, thinking that he has a great shot to win? What is he, 15-2 on the year? He's got really good overall numbers, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that wins don't matter. That means nothing when it comes to the Cy Young anymore, for the most part. And there's also this then, Major League Baseball put this out today. Their latest Cy Young poll, chosen by a panel of MLB.com experts. Schlittler is 1, Cease is number 2, and that's razor thin on the odds board anyway. And those two guys they continue to have amazing seasons, so they're going to be tough to beat. Then number 3 is Drew Rasmussen for the Rays. Number 4 is Parker Messick.
Oh.
Before you get to Sonny Gray checking in at number 5.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how many of these people are actually voters, but I would say that there's going to be some sort of crossover between some of them being voters, some might not, but also they're going to be thinking the same way. I saw that, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's it. You can't bet on him to win the Cy Young. And we only have 6 weeks left of the Major League Baseball season, by the way. And then I talked about a case maybe to be made for the Mariners to bet them. How about this email from Mike, ftm@vsin.com. Reminding us that the Mariners slow play it every year, then make a push. Looks like more the same as their September schedule includes 7 against the Angels, 7 against the A's, 3 against the Rockies. He played them to make the playoffs plus 275 and to win the division.
That's it?
Plus 375.
That's what the odds are?
That's what he got. I'm sure that there, you might be able to get a little bit more than that.
Seven games under 500.
I just
only two back, but there are six teams ahead of them. And by the way, Toronto's up 2-0 in the first. Baltimore, Texas, and Detroit tied for the final wild card spot. Three games under 500. Twins a half back. Jays a half back. Cleveland a game back. Seattle two back.
Tell you what, they might be a team based on the odds, but that books are not stupid. They'll see the schedule as well. The Mariners for most wins in September could be a little fun bet to make. Because if they do get hot, they'll those bets cash off for Mike, you would think they're going to be, in the mix there to have the most wins. I think the team stinks.
They do.
That's all. I mean, I guess the one thing they have going for them is that the rest of the American League West is pretty weak as well. I want the Astros to take off and run away with this thing, but that's not happening.
Well, they have to take advantage of this. This is, like you just mentioned with Seattle, mm-hmm. they have that now.
Yeah, yeah.
They get here comes A's Angels for a bunch coming up.
Right, and this is the stretch of games where I think, the Astros were a popular bet for most wins in the month of August. And so you better start taking advantage of that, like ASAP, boys.
And they're in first place, and they're a game over 500. I mean, what a debacle. This is not how Manfred drew it up. Oh, hideous. Angels for three, A's for three. Then they go to New York. But they better, because the schedule's difficult after that. So you also, late in the season, they close Seattle and the A's. But they better go 6-1 here in these next next two series coming up.
I wanted to tell you about this as well. This is from Aaron Boone. He said that, and now where is it here? Aaron Judge is going to start, he's going to begin hitting progression this week. They need him back, obviously, before the playoffs. Get on that. Offense, to your point, the Nerfies, everything like that, just they've been a debacle here for a while.
Yes. Got some other news today, too. The Packers are going to play the starters. Denver's playing. I think I read Denver's playing the starters as well. And there was another team coming out. Now I can't find it. Another team playing the starters as well.
Okay.
And then, like you mentioned, what new? Mike Evans left practice with an injury. So that's good news for us, too, with Stripling.
And boy, oh boy, I don't want to get crazy here, but one day after the Jordan Tyson news, 15 minutes ago, Chris Olave headed to the medical tent during practice today. He had to walk off with trainers. I don't like hearing that.
Yeah.
And that bet that we talked about a little bit earlier, Paul Charchin was awesome talking about Juwan Johnson. And Juwan Johnson was as high as 75-1 to lead all tight ends in receiving yards this year at FanDuel. Evidently now, since we brought it up on the air, that number is long gone. But he was third last year. Can you believe? I did not know. I guess top five because Charch set it up like that. But he finished third last year overall in receiving yards by tight end.
Yeah.
And this year with Tyson missing a good 2 months now coming up. Last year, McBride had 1,200. Pitts 930, Johnson 900 overall. That's like completely under the radar.
Chargers playing their starters Thursday night.
There you go.
That's what it was. 49ers favored, though. I'm surprised by that.
Well, the Chargers also had bad news today as what offensive lineman was carted off the field.
Yeah. But in a preseason, though, I'm okay with Trey Lance. And they had a blowout win against the Texans last week. But that stretch, for whatever reason, what is it? Mackinnon had it up there, VSiN.com. I believe it's a 1-10 stretch in home games in the preseason going back for the Chargers.
That Chargers schedule from weeks 3-10 is enough for me not to want to have, future bets on them. And one reason why I like to go with the under on their win total, actually. There's a lot to like about the team other than the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule's a nightmare.
That's a lot of teams, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. All right, great job by everybody behind the glass tonight. Stay tuned. VSiN Prime Time is next. Tim Murray, Matt Eumanns, they'll take you through the entire live betting evening on tap, along with plenty of football futures on board as well. Best of luck, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.